This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
There's one day to go until the Tokyo Olympics opening ceremony, and today another shuffle in the organizing committee's top ranks. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. The Olympic Organizing Committee has today fired its opening ceremony director, Kentaro Kobayashi. It came after a joke in a comedy act resurfaced from 20 years ago about the Holocaust. Organizers say they're now assessing how to hold the opening event tomorrow, which usually stands out as a major showcase for the host nation. The games and the ceremony that goes with them have been scaled down, and we know that even in the best of times, putting on an event like this is a costly endeavor for the host city. So how can Tokyo hope to recoup any of its expenditure in these pandemic games? The BBC's Sasha Twining has that story.
The International Olympic Committee has the honor of announcing that the games of the 32nd Olympiad in 2020 are awarded to the city of Tokyo.
Yeah! That was the moment the former president of the International Olympic Committee, Jacques Rogge, announced that Japan would be hosting the 2020 Olympics. Over the years, only a small handful have made any money. The last Games, Rio in 2016, is estimated by the American Economic Association to have made the biggest net loss yet, leaving the country around $2 billion out of pocket. There's the infrastructure needed. Naturally, the stadia, from scratch or upgrading of existing, places for athletes to train and stay. It took Montreal 30 years to pay off the last of its debt from the 1976 Games. So if you add a global pandemic into the mix, what will the figures look like then?
The Games will have cost Japan somewhere in the order of $35 billion.
Andrew Zimbalist is professor of economics at Smith College in Massachusetts. He's also the author of the International Handbook on the Economics of Mega Sporting Events.
The Tokyo Organizing Committee will receive total revenues on the order of $4 or $4.5 billion. I'm afraid that this is a sunk cost. At this point, they're trying to minimize the PR damage and to avoid greater embarrassment.
Well, let's get another opinion from Michael Payne. He's formerly of the International Olympic Committee and advised the teams behind the successful bids of London, Rio and LA.
Tokyo's had the most successful Olympic marketing program ever, three times higher than Rio 5 years ago. But because they will have no ticketing revenue, there probably will be a shortfall in their budget that the government will have to make up. The tourism legacy is what comes 1, 3, 5 years after the Games. And I wouldn't count the Japanese out just yet in staging an Olympic Games that will be magical, will be special, and still surprise the world.
So in spite of the absence of audiences at venues for the delayed 2020 Olympics, it seems likely that Japan will put on a show to remember. I'm the BBC's Sasha Twining for Marketplace.
Checking the numbers now, global stock benchmarks are a little changed today. European investors are looking ahead to the ECB's policy meeting later. No new measures are expected to be announced, but analysts say the central bank will likely vow to keep stimulus measures in place longer than originally anticipated. Commuters in the Chinese province of Henan yesterday were caught in a scene straight out of a horror film. Floodwaters rushed into underground train cars, rose to elbow level, and trapped passengers inside. It killed 12 people underground. Today, as heavy rains continue, the Chinese government is ordering urgent evaluation of flood control and emergency responses on urban transit networks. The BBC's Robin Brandt has more from just outside an entrance to a metro station in the heart of the eastern part of Zhangzhou in Henan province.
On the outer edges of the city, there are still many overrun rivers. There's still localized flooding. and we're hearing stories of people in towers with some power but no elevators. The big troubling question though remains what happened on this metro network. People who were stuck on this train carriage for up to 4 hours as the water was rising around them as they stood there holding onto the rails waiting for a rescue. Some of the bus networks and other forms of transport were shut down. They were trying to get away from the floods as they were coming towards them. And the big questions this morning are, why was this metro network that's less than 10 years old left so vulnerable? From national government in Beijing, we've seen a warning other provinces, other cities, to look at their preparedness, specifically look at their provision for these underground networks if these rains come again.
That's the BBC's Robin Brandt reporting there. Well, this week, Pfizer and BioNTech agreed a deal with their South African partner, BioVac, to produce 100 million COVID-19 vaccine doses in the country. It's a first for the African continent. It comes as South Africa battles a third wave of the virus and has one of the highest death and infection rates on the continent. John Nkengasong is director of the Africa CDC. He explains that this deal is part of a wider strategy for the whole of Africa.
Any country in Africa that has the capacity to manufacture should manufacture vaccines. The continent is not standing still and waiting for 2022 for vaccines to be manufactured. Through the African Union initiative, we've acquired about 400 million doses of vaccines. The distribution will start in a couple of days in Africa. That would mean vaccinating about 30% of our population. We are also encouraged that the pledges countries like the United States and France and others have made in the past are beginning to arrive the continent. It is also important to note that it is always good to have the ability to manufacture additional doses in case there's need to bolster the people who have received their first, second doses there.
That's John Nkengasong from the Africa CDC there. And in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.